This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are now 1 hour away from Rangers pregame as they try to now snap a three-game losing streak. They'll be visiting the St. Louis Cardinals. MLB trade deadline now under 25 hours away. It's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on your home of the champs. We'll have all the coverage for you. They've already made two moves, and we had the details on that coming up in the expressway at 5:20. Matt Hicks is going to join you at about 5:40, 5:45, start getting you ready for tonight's game. But between now and then, we are live at training camp, and it's time for an edition of the finest. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
How funny is this, man? The NFL is welcoming in the most useless bit in all of sports into our game days now. And it is the, you know how the NBA will bring a coach over in the middle of the game and do a quick in-game interview with them that's like two or three questions of uselessness? The NFL is now going to be doing this as well. Each team has to provide a head coach, one in the first half, one in the second half, and that's for all teams. So apparently, I don't know if this is just national games or if this is like all of the games coming up during the regular season, but you will get a head coach thrown into, you know, here's Aaron Andrews live with Mike McCarthy, like in between quarters or something like that. And they're just going to be giving you nothing when it comes to information. And these coaches are going to absolutely hate it. I feel bad for these sideline reporters. They just keep getting put in worse and worse situations, as if, you know, when they're running off to halftime and they get one of the coaches and it's just uselessness for like 12 seconds. That's what they're now like. How do they look at that and think, oh, we need more of that? I don't know.
I was thinking that myself, like, who's winning here? There's got to be some sort of a sponsor that goes along with it, right?
The only way this makes sense is if it's a money grab of some sorts, other than just the idea that these TV networks have, like, some amazing access.
I mean, are there fans at home going, like, oh, man, that was great to hear from Coach, say, we got to,
the only reason I like it is because it can be a little awkward, and there could be maybe angry coach or whatever. You get the 1 out of 10 that are so bad they're funny, and then you capitalize on those moments. G-bag of the day.
Do you kind of feel like that maybe this will replace having to talk to the coach at halftime? I'm Aaron Andrews. I talked to Mike McCarthy. They need to make better use of their first down runs. You know, does this eliminate by talking to the coach, one in the first half, one in the second half, does this eliminate the halftime,
I believe this,
which coaches
additive.
Probably hate even more?
I think this adds on to their responsibilities, Brian. I don't think they take any away.
I thought
and
maybe
I don't
it was like
how you diminish the great Aaron Andrews.
Yeah,
there
I was going to say,
impression.
Medford, we're going to need to mark that, pull that, and we're going to have a limited fake Brian Broaddus as Aaron Andrews coming
up
later.
I didn't
on
really mean
disrespect.
No, it was great.
Aaron Andrews.
She's always been super kind to you.
She has, yeah, super kind. And to the point where I'm just saying, though, do you think this eliminates Aaron having to do her job at halftime?
Probably I don't think so. I think this adds to it. I think there's even more. I think they're probably doubling down on coach interviews.
I think the coach would say, if you don't talk to me coming off the field, I'll talk to you at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, maybe you're right. We'll see. But that's
because nobody's going to tell her anything anyway at the halftime thing, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you anything. You might as well say, hey, Mike, it looks like to me your offense is doing a great job of running the football. Yeah, we just got to keep doing it. We're finding some combinations up front. You know, well, thanks, Mike. You know, that, you know, and now
it's garbage.
But it doesn't, It doesn't have to, because some of those people got in trouble for saying they were making stuff up at halftime. Remember?
The only way it's entertaining is if you got a great accent, you know? Like, you better be super country or southern or English or something. Say something funny. That's all. That's the only value in there.
Yeah, get if the Seahawks are doing it, just throw Aiden Dirty out there with his British accent. Boom, there you go. Getting it done. Hybrid work environments are what you're getting in Carolina with the new head coach, Dave Canales, who's quickly climbing up the leaderboard when it comes to most attractive NFL head coaches.
But he's a handsome man.
He's a young buck, and we'll see how he does. But they're doing the hybrid
Dave
work
Cialis?
Model. Not Cialis.
Oh.
Canales.
Oh.
Tomato, tomato. On Mondays, he plans to be out the door by 5 p.m. This is an NFL head coach, okay? Grade the softness here, Broadus. His in-season routine is to flip on Monday Night Football later that evening in his home office, where his kids will often hang out while doing homework as their dad, quote-unquote, watches film. On Thursdays, the goal is to have everyone home by 7 p.m., and Fridays, the target is 3 p.m. on a football Friday. We're going to get out of Dodge at 3 p.m. because happy hour. Work efficiently is what will make it all work. That's what Dave Canales said. I think we have the best work schedule in the NFL. As far as the horror stories you may hear, that's not what's going to happen in Carolina. So, I mean, if you're on the coaching staff here, you're loving this, right?
They're going to be the most well-rested 3-14 team in NFL history.
Yeah, baby. They're not going to have bags under their eyes on the sidelines.
If you gave me the opportunity to take time off towards the end of the night, like Thursdays and Fridays, I would appreciate that more than a Monday.
I think there's some good signs to it. I actually saw an article a couple of days ago that the trend of coaches that do 18-hour days has ended. Maybe not to this extent.
Yeah, but I'll also tell you, it depends on, too, how much Carolina has to travel. Because those Monday, coming back from Sunday games into Monday, I could see why he's trying to get his guys out. No, but now these coaching staffs have 20 guys, 25 guys. So you could get all your work done. You got, you got your position coaches, but then you got your assistants to the assistants. If they've got all the game plan stuff done, there's traditionally off days or Tuesdays. You're not going to see the players then. So you can grind this thing down on Tuesday.
Yeah, just let Mike McCarthy get a hold of this story. He'll really grind it down.
How did I not think of that?
Can I
get your blueprints here strategically?
I could see after Sunday game, travel home, if you get home at 3-4 in the morning, trying to get everybody out at a decent time on Monday. I could see that.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of coaches that will go straight from landing to the office.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Brain can't work anymore.
Or
I think if you get home at 3 or 4 in the morning, guys, we'll see it 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
That's kind of where I
you got to be able to sleep, man.
Almost like a Christmas Day schedule.
Yeah.
Like you celebrate Christmas Day with your Hanukkah, whatever. I'm just talking about holidays.
Yeah, respect Wolchuk's holidays.
I did. I'm respecting all the holidays. But, traditionally in the league,
doesn't
it's like,
it.
Well, I was trying.
I was
trying.
Almost as hard as you were trying to do that Aaron Andrews impression, really spot on.
That was not good. That was a bad one. But anyway, that's kind of where some of those coaches let you celebrate in the morning and then come and work in the afternoon.
I like that. I was just making fun of it, but I do think it's smart to be properly rested and things like that. So
yeah.
I don't know how much of an advantage John Gruden was getting.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
4 hours in the middle of the night.
How would you feel about it in your current state? If you were an NFL coach with your current family configuration at the ages, how do you think he's doing it the right way?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely, be a home run.
Yeah.
As long as you're able to. I mean, the idea from our vantage point, our whole lives has been like, that's how you have to get all the work in that it takes to show up on Sunday prepared. You have to find ways to sleep at your desk and crap because that's how they made it seem. But now you're seeing guys that are able to much more efficiently be able, McVay and these guys are doing something similar, maybe not to this extent, but I'm sure he's had a nice little type of work environment as well, a little bit more new age and still getting the
job
done.
He's got no kids.
Success. Yeah, no, he doesn't have kids, so it's different, sure. But I'm sure Dave Canales isn't the first first guy to implement something like this. We've had an influx over the last decade of like 30 to 35-year-old coaches being head men.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're all known for doing the John Gruden sleep in the office thing. Yeah. So I think this has become a little bit more of a trend. But he's being super heavy-handed with, this is what it is. We're clocking out at this time. Yeah. This is my plan. You won't be seeing head coach after 3 o'clock on
Friday. I applaud what he's doing because, to me,
as long as you can still be successful, you're good here.
I'm telling you, getting off a plane at 4:30 in the morning and going to the office is no fun.
No, it's a tough deal.
And you do it like 2-3 times, you know, like in a couple. Man, it's tough. Some of those trips are really tough.
Now, they may not be working overly hard there in Carolina, but I'll tell you what, in Cleveland, they are putting the grind in, ladies and gentlemen.
The gene grinder.
We're talking about the security squad. Now, we know that we have a giant security problem here across
the United States.
Are these
the yellow windbreaker folk?
This is the yellow windbreaker folk. They're out there in an empty dog pound, okay? No limelight. This isn't for the headline stuff. Somebody snuck a little Snapchat video of it, but you can see the Browns security team, the yellow jacket men, they're running around chasing a would-be streaker. Mm-hmm. They're having would-be streakers, young, looks pretty athletic, running around out there in the open field, and then they have their strategy for Orange Swarm, the Browns security team, on the assailant. So this is pretty cool. I've never seen I don't know how commonplace this is, if this is the first leak we've ever seen, but it's good to know that maybe the Browns are the first team in sports, really the first team in our country right now, that are looking around going, you know what, we're going to dominate our security.
If I had to power rank
we're not going to get embarrassed when it matters most. We're going to be ready for the moment.
Okay, if I had to power rank the yellow windbreaker folk, I think football stadium field is probably the easiest one to do. I think baseball's hard. Anything that has like a lot of space.
I think they
soccer
all have
pitch,
a lot of space.
Football.
I think your
configurations at every major
football,
league baseball stadium are different.
They seem to capture the football people quicker than the other sports.
I think because maybe the football people, they're putting a little bit of training in here like the Brown security team is.
I think when you have to cover a lot of ground.
I think in football,
baseball, you're covering a lot of ground. And it's open field. You can get embarrassed.
You got tackling dummies in the NFL stadium that you can actually put some work in, get these guys some form tackling in baseball.
Oh, I saw the guy without the windbreaker running around. And they were having some problems, but I'm saying football, a little bit more confined space.
I think that's a good point. Plus, you have the both teams out there that serve as sort of passive
obstacles.
Too
much ground. If you get in the outfield,
you're not going anywhere in basketball.
No, no. Oh, do you see that time at
Minnesota?
Yeah. That lady was watching. As soon as that, boom, she was on it.
You got nowhere to go.
I love the way this security team, this Brown security team, though, and they got some young dudes that are out there, young, hungry dogs, but the way they swarmed.
Told
the
you, John Nelson in England, what they got rugby dudes coming off the line.
The way these kids are swarming to the runner here, that was a gang tackle. That was three or four dudes on you all of a sudden. And because he's got a lot of space to work with, it's going to take a second. You're going to have to hold your water there. You can't overcommit. Keep your angle, keep your leverage on the runner. But then once you all get there and swarm, I was actually asking Zimmer about that because I'm not really crazy about our guy Maris Leifau, the Notre Dame backer they just drafted. Yeah. They're super high on him. I'm like, Zim, how do you coach this guy to tackle? He's missing tackles all over the place. Yeah. And he's like, well, here's the deal. He's instinctual. He knows where to be, when to be there. And I'm supposed to have more reinforcements swarming to the football to help him. Yeah. If I just got one guy to the ball, then gosh dang it, that's the other 10 guys' fault. Yeah. Maris is going to get there, hold him up, whatever. You're going to have a blue swarm kind of defense.
You need sheepdogs and shepherds, you know, and a German shepherd.
I tell you, I felt like one time in Kansas City that Kevin Harlan
sound
called
like Uncle Jesse there, the guy from the Dukes of Hazzard.
The guy with the bra. The guy
that was San Francisco.
Was that San Francisco?
Yeah, Monday Night Football.
I thought that was Kansas City. So San Francisco needs to get on their game. Because that was a long Kevin Harlan call.
Yeah, it was 60 seconds.
Yeah, that was a long. He's wearing a bra.
He's wearing a bra.
So it felt like
bra off and be a man.
That felt like a soft San Francisco sort of West Coast strategy of just letting this guy tire himself out. Yeah. You know, that's kind of the strategy it felt like that San Francisco employed. You know, and it was a little bit of embarrassment.
Is this one of those states where, like, if you shoplift, they're like, don't touch that guy. We might get sued.
Yeah.
Just let him go.
I can see
those videos. Yeah. They walk out of the store with all that stuff.
It's crazy. Yeah,
crazy.
Okay, 972 is saying they did this every season as Cowboys field security. They had five or six different practices as Cowboys security to go over every possible situation.
Okay, see, so football organizations, they are a little bit more dialed.
Except for San Francisco.
Probably didn't want to take the time.
But that was a baseball
stadium at the time, I believe.
Mm.
But credit to San Francisco, they're putting a lot of effort into
making
sure
the
football
TV show you need. Like, I'll take the cheerleader show, you know, but I want this show.
The security team show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all building up to the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and who's going to be ready. You know,
that is exciting.
A lot of drama.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
Oh, body cams on them.
Yeah.
Body cams.
You go around the league every week.
Yeah.
You know, get some of the highlights.
Yeah, they show the United States in the map, and they jet over to Buffalo, where they're, like, doing some work and stuff. Like,
yeah.
And then, down to Tampa. That's going inside
training camp for real.
We're just giving away an idea.
I mean, because it's a content goldmine, I feel.
It is.
We're giving away an idea right now.
Just these random dudes, hungry dogs that couldn't get it at the local, you know, bar or whatever to be the bouncer, but they made it here.
Or retired special teamers, you know. This is a potential second career.
I will tell you this.
Personality.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Like, Larry Izzo right now? He should be running around one of these stadiums with a yellow jacket on, ready to tear somebody up.
I will say this. I was down on the sidelines in Philadelphia one time. Yellow jacket guy. He works for the Eagles. He goes, brought us. He showed me, he pulled his windbreaker back, had a Dallas Cowboys t-shirt on underneath.
Wow.
He goes,
respect.
He goes, I listen to you guys all the time. Keep it up.
Okay.
Nice.
I got to point this out. We have Xavier Worthy's making some big-time plays
run.
In Kansas City. But the Chiefs are, I mean, this is as cocky a play as I've ever seen in my entire life.
Just run vertically?
No, dude.
Let's go.
Yeah.
This is like the ultimate trick play situation here.
Wheel route with him.
You've seen Xavier Worthy be a bit of a cheat code already with some deep balls, but now you have Andy Reid pulling out plays where it's like quadruple lateral kind of stuff, dude. Like this.
See, there you go.
This is like.
I watched him run one today on the goal line.
It's Mahomes to Kadarius Toney, back to Mahomes, back to Tony, and then Tony going deep to Xavier Worthy in one play as Bill Barnwell.
Quadruple
they got
option.
This on film?
Someone's going to get toasted. They're trusting Kadarius Tony to catch the football twice in one play.
Oh.
Well, he's been playing some running back for them. I thought they were just going to move position so he doesn't have to catch the ball.
Well, he's also throwing the ball in this particular play.
Well, maybe he's got a better arm than he does hands.
So that's the cockiest play in football history, and that's what's happening at Kansas City's training camp right now.
That's the new man, baby. That is the new – this is something that we should have been expecting for a long time from our professional athletes, quite frankly. Okay? You guys, you know –
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't see it? You don't see it? The laterals, the spacing out the field?
Yeah, I think
throwing it to the other side of the
field. The minute it happens here that Big Mike does it
and
the ball's on the ground, you're going to be screaming.
That's how
on
there's chaos and Tashard Choice fumbles and it's picked up and run back for a touchdown against Washington.
Right before half.
The most unexplored opportunity in football. Oh, we might turn
Dawson
it over.
Was,
go for
Dawson
it.
Dawson was on the post game going, can you believe Garrett did that crap?
They should do it more.
Why are you trying to lateral there?
We got 60 dudes on this team. You're telling me there's not more than a couple that can catch it and throw it? This is going to be a completely different game in 10 years, boys. Defense thought they had us in checkmate.
Check me at the lake.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Chiafalo. An edition of the finest most afternoons at 5 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation.
Later,
it's time to hit the expressway. We're going to go commercial free to the top. Matt Hicks is coming up at about 5:45, and at the top of the hour, Cardinals baseball here on 105, Rangers and Cardinals here on 105 through the Fan.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have Rangers baseball coming up at 6 o'clock here. I felt like that last 30 seconds of the last segment could have been the beginning of a Dawson birthday roast. I could not find the road. Segment here of the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. We have an off day for the Cowboys, but still a lot of news to talk about.
Full pads tomorrow.
Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps. And what are you hoping to see with full pads as compared to what we've seen so far, Brian?
We had Will McClay on earlier, and he was kind of talking about the evaluation aspect of it. You'll see maybe a little bit more stuff working with the running game, Dawson. I know that's something you're like, okay, this running game has got to help the quarterback. Can the running back room help the quarterback? Tomorrow you maybe get a little bit of an idea of that, how the blocking guys coming off the ball, maybe some 9-on-7 stuff, maybe a little bit more team period. They've been really kind of specific of what they've been doing. They've been doing a lot of 2-minute stuff. Maybe we'll see some more red zone stuff tomorrow, but you'll get that opportunity with the pads on, though. Both groups got to work with each other, stay off the ground, don't get any more injuries here. But the pads are always a great way for the scouts to evaluate really kind of where you're at as far as the physicality of your team.
Okay, we could just jump back into Cowboys, obviously, and we will here before too long. But it's been a very busy day of Rangers news, and we'll get that to you here in just a second as Josh Jung has been activated, but that's not all. Everybody's got, a buddy, or maybe it's you, that just has, like, public restroom anxiety on a nuclear level. And that is our guy, Woolchuck. For the first time, I believe, in show history, he's currently using a porta-potty facilities.
Yeah.
How do you extend
stay, if you know
okay,
what I'm saying.
Okay.
He's not at the urinal.
Okay, this is where I want to ask a question. Because in the confidential thing I saw today, you were filming him at a urinal.
That may or may not have happened.
Huh. I saw that.
You saw it?
I saw it.
With your own eyes?
With my own eyes.
His anxiety does not begin at the urinal.
No.
It really is just...
He's got two fear.
Yeah, he's got two fear. Public two fear.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he is not. He is very anti. Like, this is probably the first time in, I would guess, 2 years.
So he confided in with us about an hour and a half ago that he really needed to go. And then when I got up after that last segment, I could smell him walking down, that way. And I knew he was slowly making his way for that area. And he definitely sidled up. And we'll have a progress report. Hopefully he's doing okay. Because I know this has to be like a gastro emergency. In order for Walt.
This is one of the
911 code red.
I thought it was my Baker Mayfield take.
That's why he was vomiting.
If you have to go to number 2 at this facility, I'd say you're in pretty darn good hands.
It's about as good as it gets as far as a porta potty.
I tell you what, it's like the smell. It's air conditioned.
It is hardwood floors.
You can lock a door.
It's as close as you can get to an actual restroom.
Yeah.
It's top tier. It's a top tier porta john. And on a day like today, where it's off day for most people, there's not so much traffic. That's what gets you. The original, as it comes out of the box, porta john is delightful, but then you get a bunch of media members running through that thing throughout an entire practice, and now all of a sudden you might as well be at a gas station if you're trying to go number 2. The urinal stays respectful, but that one, because there's only one toilet in there.
Okay,
Walchuk is sitting now where Deucey sits, and everybody's sitting on that.
I was wondering, because you the other day went to restroom in a regular restaurant, like a bar.
That was also an unmitigated emergency disaster after that giant bone marrow burger that we ate that I was telling you about. Then we moseyed on over to Yard House to get a little bit of drinks.
So you went Yard House
to an F.
How was the stall area at the Yard House?
It was actually pretty impressive. I laid down a buffer. I'm not going to go cheek to seat in a public place, so I'm not an animal like Brian Baldinger. But I just laid out like three toilet paper layers thick of
shingled coverage. You shingled it.
That's special. 100%. You have to do that. Yeah. And there are times where you can't, but even though in this emergency, I was like, I can buy 30 more seconds to get this done, and now it can be a little bit more comfortable. And the man of the hour actually is appearing here, Walchuk, with just a terrible, like, I just saw a ghost look on his face.
Well, I see
see some color coming back into his face, though. Maybe that was therapeutic for him.
What's up, guys? Everyone okay?
Yeah.
We're asking
we were talking
you.
About that special sweet spot where you have an emergency, but you still have enough time to put down two or three layers.
Yeah, trust me. It can be a really, really big problem when that arises. And to put down multiple layers was really the task that needed to happen.
You did that.
Yeah, certainly did. And I will say that the tools that they have here at this establishment may be better than other ones.
Ah, see?
Nice.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, you look relieved, man. It's good to
very
see you
much so.
In this state.
How did you like the air conditioning in there?
The air conditioning was fantastic, but I think more so it was the toilet paper. I mean, this was Victory A-grade toilet paper, and the one compared to what we're working with at the Marriott, no shots fired at them, but bit thin.
Jerry's gone all out. He really does know how to take care of a meeting.
He does not cut any corners.
Did you feel like bringing some toilet paper with you out of there to take back to the Marriott?
I may or may not have actually brought a roll back.
Mm.
So you could probably count on one hand the amount of times you've done that in a public setting.
That's the first time in my life I've ever done that in a porta potty.
Okay. Now, do you feel like this could have broken new ground for you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's still. I think honestly, this was the perfect. Like the poo gods were gracing me with this moment and this day because there's no practice, no other media members outside of another radio station are here.
Hey, those two
very
should
light.
Be on the newlywed game.
Come on.
He held up the card. He said, "Question: how do you think Wolchuk would respond?"
Yeah.
Eric gave the, and then now
first
you get the answer.
Ever.
Yeah, it's like these two are married.
Well, we are.
Yeah. Yeah, he
we
gave
are.
The answer. He
I'm
said
proud
exactly.
Of you, Chuck.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I mean, honestly, I'm proud of myself.
That burn on that arm. That right arm's looking really red.
Now, Walt Chuck will
problem.
Be a little bit lighter when we get on the fields here in a little bit after the show and start running around.
Got news for you.
Tossing that pill around.
I won't be out there.
the 105 through the fan combine after the show
you're
tonight?
You're punting on the pass and kick situation?
Yeah, why should I have to pass
Broadus
and kick?
Broadus is going to put on us how to snap the football clinic, and you're supposed to be there to catch the ball and throw the ball and get made fun of.
I think my draft stock's pretty much solidified.
Caleb Williams!
That was solidified.
Yeah.
No combine?
You don't have to show up to the combine?
No combine.
We got a lot of Rangers news to get to, and it's a good thing Wolchuk is back because it was 11 personnel moves today. Third baseman Josh Young.
Three wide receivers, one tight end.
Left-hander Cody Bradford. Each reinstated from the 60-day injured list. They also recalled infielders Zeke Duran and Gerson Garabito to open roster spots for that quartet. John Gray on the 15-day DL there with the second groin strain of the season. They optioned three others to AAA, Andrew Kisner, Justin Foscue, and Jonathan Ornelas, who did the Derek Jeter impression last week, to open 40-man roster spots for Young and Bradford. Outfielder Evan Carter transferred to the 60-day shelf. Davis Wenzel designated for assignment, and righty Austin Pruitt has been released. So what a massive day, and it's just a sign of things to come here for this baseball team. Got more on that coming up with Matt Hicks here in about 10, 15 minutes.
That's what happens to you when you're a team that's struggling at 500.
Yeah.
You know, you're just now you're trying your best to kind of manage things, and it's not going the right way. And then you have to make a flurry of moves just to try and get the thing back on track.
You know, it's also a sign that you're getting healthy. Yeah. You know, and I'd say even though you got swept, the era is pointing up.
I'm glad you're optimistic about this. And I usually am because of the division.
Yeah, I think the division you're going to look up and you're going to be in the hunt.
14-9 in your last 23 games. You know, there's ups and downs to a season. And last year, you know, showed me that you can never give up on a team and never underestimate the heart of a champion.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
They did make themselves better here in the last 24 hours. They got a new backup catcher, Carson Kelly, coming over from Detroit. Good move from CY. Now you have a new backup for Jonah. This guy hits like 240 on the year. Pretty good player compared to Kisner.
Yeah, he's an offensive upgrade over Kisner, that's for sure. Bochy also saying, according to Evan Grant, that Carson Kelly will not exclusively be catching for Max Scherzer because Kisner was doing that. So Heim is expected to catch for Scherzer on Tuesday. Other news of note, John Gray. You mentioned the 15-day IL.
Yeah.
Bochy's saying he could miss up to a month with the groin strain.
Yeah, second time around.
Ooh. maybe you just want to trade him too. They got so many starters coming up. I think if there's, you know,
they could transfer him to the 60 then, right? Probably.
They could if they needed to, yeah.
And lefty reliever Walter Pennington is on his way to the organization. He was acquired for Michael Lorenzen, traded to the Royals. He's been outstanding in AAA this year with an ERA under 3, so you might get something there that could help your bullpen. If not this year, then next. Rangers were dominated by the Blue Jays, though. And, you know, I think it was a reminder of what this team is. And this, you know, getting healthy here with Mally coming back. And, you know, obviously the news you've got today on Josh Jung. This is their last chance to be optimistic. You know, if this does not actually come to fruition and have it be a full-on snapping back, if we continue to ride the yo-yo, then I'll have to give up. Even me.
Nah, you're good.
Perhaps the most optimistic broadcaster in DFW.
I appreciate what you're doing right now, man, because I got 1 foot in the parking lot, and I can hear the U-Haul. It's kind of humming over there.
Well, and to make matters worse, the Mariners did get a sweep the right way over the weekend, so they've pulled even with Houston. You have both teams now up 4.5 games and 6 games back in the wild card spot. If you were banging the drum to sell today, you got 24, just over 24 hours to go. Are you getting on the table and making a push that, guys, we got to bail on this season. Don't throw bad money after bad money.
I'm going to go with you on this one, Dawson. I'm going to trust you on this one. You must know something.
We're going to lean positive.
I'm going to lean positive, even though that Toronto series took something out of me after.
Yeah, it did.
You know, Toronto was trying to sell. Toronto was filling out the lineup card every day with the thought of maybe somebody not being in the lineup card. And that one was tough, man. That was tough 3 games.
Okay. Will McClay joined us last hour. You can go back and listen to that if you have the Odyssey app. It's basically like a podcast player of all of our segments. I think you'll really like it. But we asked him, you know, what needs to happen for this team this year in order to accomplish the goals that you've come up short on? You know, I asked him if it's a rebuilding year in any way, and he said no. Now, to me, it is because you let a bunch of players go and didn't spend any money to bring them back. But, you know, I think the Cowboys haven't sold off their players or anything like that, so they're in a situation where if things go right, they could still kind of contend. But how realistic is the defense being better based on what you've seen so far in less than a week, Brian?
I'll tell you what, you know, when you talk to the defensive coordinator about it, he really likes his guys, but he reminds us, he's like, listen, hey, I got to get in pads. I want to see him. But he goes, they're doing everything I'm asking them to do. I like the fact that he and Micah Parsons seem to be kind of connected when it comes to him trying to move him around, maybe find some more spots for him. I like what I've seen with the cornerback spot, though, from Bland. I like Carson. I'm looking forward to seeing Diggs get back out here probably sooner than later. The safeties have kind of shown up a little bit. They're much better at linebacker.
So much better at linebacker.
So much better at linebacker. But Will McClay said it. Got to play some run defense, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and we'll see when the pads come on.
And we'll see when the pads come on. But line one to me is that defensive coordinator. That's line one that I'm the most happy about.
Sam Williams injured, torn ACL over the weekend, so he's out for the year, obviously. You did a nice study on the defensive ends who are available out there on the market, and there was the one guy from Detroit, right, Charles Harris?
Charles Harris,
like,
could
be a good fit?
Yeah, I really do like Charles Harris. He's 29 years old, guys, and this guy's got some juice off the ball, the initial quickness. I'm trying to find somebody that's similar to the guy you just lost. And so with Harris, you know, rush to the level of the quarterback, be able to get there, finish when you have to, get some shifty moves to the way he plays. I mean, I think there's some things that he could do for you out on the edge. I like the way he plays a little bit run defense. I think he probably plays run defense a little bit better than Sam.
I like that.
But when you start to talk about rushing that passer, Sam has that ability. I think Charles Harris is a very similar guy to that.
Could this be a trade here that pushes the second rounder Marshawn Nealand into the rotation more? Yeah. And could that be a blessing, especially if you want to stay in position and stop the run?
Yeah, I think that, to me, this is one of those you know, you heard the exchange that Will and I had about Nealand, about his ability and stuff like that. And I felt like always playing the run, he was going to be good. Rushing the passer, if they get something out of that, this is going to give him an opportunity. They've already playing him quite a bit. They're already playing him at left end, right end. They kick him inside.
Well, now he's starting. Like anytime they have Micah moving off ball.
Yeah. So yeah, he's going to get plenty of opportunity.
We'll have more with Matt Hicks on the Rangers here in just the division here in just a few minutes. But the Mariners have made another trade. After getting Randy Arozarena late last week, they have acquired veteran Justin Turner from the Blue Jays on Monday. He's the redhead from the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
When they won the World Series, he had COVID out there on the field. I remember him. But Turner's 39 years old. He's having a pretty nice season. Hitting 257, 351, 373, six home runs and 31 ribbies this year. Mariners GM Justin Hollander saying Justin's been one of the most productive corner infield bats in the league for over a decade with his track record at the plate, extensive experience in the postseason, a valuable addition to both our lineup and our clubhouse. And the Blue Jays received double-A outfielder RJ Schreck in the deal. Turner on a one-year $13 million contract. How much of the M's helped themselves this week, Wolchuk?
They did a lot. I mean, with Turner and Arozarena, those are two guys that really are good bats to inject into their lineup. And not to mention, if they get in there, the playoff performance that Trey Turner's had, or Justin Turner throughout his entire career, that's something that's going to help them because they don't have a whole lot of postseason experience on that lineup.
Okay, Team USA opening up their Olympic group play with a demolition of Serbia yesterday. They're going to play South Sudan on Wednesday. One storyline from the game over the weekend. Now, I guess the Celtics fans were killing us mostly for this. I think a lot of Mavericks fans kind of feel like Jason Tatum is a really good player and, you know, maybe top 10 player, maybe borderline top 5. But when you consider where he is compared to other superstars, I think a lot of people would say that wouldn't be my pick. And apparently Steve Kerr agrees.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It's kind of crazy, you know, but did not play at all in the game over Serbia. Steve Kerr decided that
Halliburton didn't play either. There were two of them.
Short on the bench now.
Yeah.
These games are meaningful.
They looked at matchups. They look at lineup combinations from the exhibition games, and they decided that, you know, at least against Serbia, they needed more traditional big men and wing players. He said that the matchups versus South Sudan are much more to Jason Tatum's skill set, where they need players who can switch on the perimeter defensively versus Sudan's three-point shooters. I just can't get over, you know, the guy just won the championship, not, you know, getting a DNP coach's decision. Is it that loaded of a roster? I don't know. I think Jason Tatum is one of the more difficult to place superstars that we've had, you know, for a long, long time. Okay, elsewhere here going on in the sports world, Aaron Rodgers is livid as the Jets have endured a sloppy practice. Is that the kind of leadership we need out here? Somebody to, you know, set the agenda more from a player's perspective? Do we need Dak to be getting livid and, you know, setting a higher standard, more accountability on the roster?
Man, Troy,
I think that
Aikman
might be one
that
thing Rodgers. What's that?
Troy Aikman used to be livid a lot.
There's definitely times where it calls for it.
There's certain moments.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not practicing. It's a slow practice day. You're not noticing guys are really feeling it. You're jogging around. It's half-ass. Yeah, you could use your leader to go ahead and get after somebody.
Let the pads happen out here and let them get down here where they're running a little, maybe some tight red zone stuff, and somebody go the wrong way and he throw the ball and it gets picked or something like that, you might see
gets a little chippy.
You might see Dak get a little chippy then.
Jerry Jones said it on some media over the weekend. You know, he's the best leader he's ever seen. I can see a lot of the traits that, you know, you would absolutely want from in a leader. The guy that brings the locker room together is always upbeat, leading by example. But I think being that, you know, guy that holds people accountable also comes along with that.
Yeah.
When you got like the guy who's going to keep the vibes immaculate, CEO type of feel to him, but also can hang out with the fellas, that is what you have in Dak. But the guy who, you know, is a Magic Johnson or Troy Aikman type of dude, Michael Jordan type of dude that wants it so bad that he's going to keep you accountable, I would say that's something that Dak should be adding at this stage.
Yeah, I think Dak is probably harder on himself than anything. But as far as a leader, I mean, he's outstanding. I don't know if he's got that, what you're talking about with the Michael Jordan or even the Troy Aikman, where you go and get in someone's face just right in front of people. Now, maybe he goes and talks to people, but I've never seen him just really just go. I've seen him, like, try and correct and coach and, hey, you need to be over here, not over here. I'm going to throw the ball, you know. Some of these guys will lose it. Like Aaron Rodgers, I will lose it.
I think it comes with being older, you know, because you've seen things so much that you know it really, really well. You can be an extension of the coaching staff. And plus, you're no longer the same age to be buddy buddies, you know, and they kind of need a guy to set that very high standard, especially with the coaches running around, you know, being so dang likable. I think, if that's specifically to this organization, because you have a front office that isn't leading like that, you don't have a coaching staff that's necessarily leading like that, we're going to trust the process and do good work and put good day on good day and, you know, stay healthy. There's got to be some sort of a driving force that, like, hey, guys, winning is super important here. And if you mess up, there's going to be someone to call you out. I know Mike Zimmer's not going to fall short on that, but he's one of the few coaches that has had that gear in his toolkit.
He has, and it's funny. And Jane and I were talking to him, and Jane asked him, "Is like, have you mellowed out?" And he goes, "I don't know if I mellowed out, but he goes, I've changed, but we'll see." He hasn't gotten. Wait, like I say, the pads. That's one guy you will hear.
Yeah.
And Jeff Zugina, I think I said.
Yeah, the defensive line coach. We were watching him yesterday. That was fun.
He looks like Mr. Incredible, dude.
He will drop some F-bombs on these players.
He'll make them go back and do the drill again.
Yeah, and like so, yeah. Zim says, I don't know if I've mellowed. I've changed. But we'll see when we get to the full pad situation what we got going.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have Rangers baseball coming up at 6 o'clock. Alec, do we have Matt Hicks with us yet?
Not yet. They're still doing some pregame stuff here.
Standing by, going to get Matt Hicks here in just a second. What do you guys feel about this Rangers series and their chances of correcting the ship?
Well, it's a sweep, get swept. Mm. Probably sweep the Cardinals, let's say, and then Brian will be back into the thought about it. But I just think this is really, really, once again, it's important. I mean, now you're in a run of teams that are maybe not the Cardinals so much. I know the Cardinals are kind of a 500 team.
Yeah, they're six back. They're second place in the Central right now.
But see, that's, to me, you've got some other teams ahead. The Boston series, the Yankees series.
Houston's the biggest one.
You got some really important games. You just can't walk out of here and get back home, you know, six-game losing streak. You just can't have that.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously there's so much to look at.
Got to have two or three from the Cardinals.
Yeah, you do. And offensively, you want to see some stuff get going. And now you're going to end up, I would imagine, seeing Josh Jung at some point through the course of this series. Apparently, it was a scheduled day off for him today anyways after playing the past three games with Frisco. So, and he will be available off the bench. So you could be seeing the Josh Jung appearance really at any point. So between that, and then you can tell Bochy. I mean, he's got Marcus Semien batting in the three hole today.
Yeah, he's changing it up.
He's tinkering with it.
Starts because it's now or never.
Yeah,
it really is.
You're in that point in the season now where every game matters so much, every series matters so much, and it's like, hey, we've got a big enough sample size now of trying certain things. Now we're going to really have to shake some crap up.
Do you kind of feel like, though, he's getting ready for Josh Jung to come back in the lineup, but trying to find a spot for Josh Smith?
Smith batting leadoff, and then.
But I'm just saying,
Jung in the three hole.
Could it be something that, like, okay, is this a way of every once in a while putting Josh Smith in the lineup, let him bat leadoff?
Well, if he's going to give Semien a day off, possibly, but I just don't think Simeon's a guy that really is going to get a lot of time off. But that is an area where Josh Smith is going to add that flexibility.
Yeah.
I think it's gone so bad, though, that you can look at guys now and be like, listen, it's not working. What are we, 19th, 21st, something like that in, you know.
Like what, overall record?
Offensive efficiency.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is, you know, something that I think needs a lot of shaking up. And, yes, to your point, Josh Smith has magically become one of your better hitters, so hitting him leadoff makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's the guy that I want having the most at-bats on the team right now.
Yeah. I just wonder if Boach is knowing with – Young coming back.
The lineup order, I don't think so much of. But, yeah, I mean, the thing about Josh Smith is somebody was asking, like, what do you think the plan is? We asked CY about that a while back. He's a guy that, yeah, he can play third if you want to DH Josh Young. He can also slide in, play short for you. You can just DH Seager, get him off his legs as well. He can play first base. He can play left field. They can move Josh Smith around all over the place to make sure he's just in the daily lineup.
I mean, it's a pretty good team. If you would add what they are going to add coming back from reinforcements in a series of trade deadline moves, you would say, wow, this team has totally given itself a massive facelift. It's the greatest trade deadline haul that we've ever seen in Major League Baseball, the amount of talent, the skins on the wall that these guys have. And, you know, coming back to this organization, I do expect that this three-game sweep that we just endured is going to end up being the last, you know, major down weekend for the club. And, you know, I'm looking forward to now finally being able to enjoy, what being defending World Series champs usually looks like. The Phillies have traded for an all-star closer, made a big move. They acquired Angels closer Carlos Estevez.
There you go.
In exchange for pitching prospects George Klassen and Samuel Aldegari. Estevez, 20 saves this season, has held opposing batters to a 169 average. GM Dave Dombrowski called him one of the best relievers in baseball, so congrats to the Phillies. Yeah, that's one of the great things we've been able to have this year is Robertson and Yates, actually having some bullpen stability. It's crazy how this year has gone bad with what appeared to be the thing that you could most count on. The Mets have added an outfielder from a division rival. They're getting some help in the form of Jesse Winker from the Nationals. He's hitting .257 with 11 home runs and 14 steals. It's crazy how the Mets were appearing
to be.
They're
big sellers last year, weren't they?
Yeah, and this,
dead.
The start of the season was just
absolutely
brutal.
We thought they were
going
to be again,
All righty, as Matt Hicks joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. A good evening to you, Matt. How the heck are you?
Hey, fellas. We're a little busy here tonight, as you can imagine.
Woo! Yes. Where do you want to start? I guess I want to know from you, what are the chances that something else gets done here in the next 24 hours?
I would say pretty good. Not that we get this huge dump of information here today doesn't mean that stuff still isn't going to happen. You know, the deadline is tomorrow, about 5 o'clock Central Time, and I would imagine that we're going to see a lot more activity, not certainly across the game, but still involving the Rangers.
This segment of The Fan brought to you by Kissable Dental and their No Bill Guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Anything specifically that you think they're looking at doing right now, Matt?
Man, I tell you what, today, you're getting a guy in Carson Kelly that shores up what the Rangers can do both offensively and defensively behind the plate. Where the Rangers have been lacking, I suppose, over the last couple of months is their ability to hit right-handed pitching. So if there's still either a left-handed bat out there or a right-handed bat that can handle right-handed pitching, then I think that you could see something in that regard. And, clubs never have enough pitching, although it seems like still with Tyler Mahle and Jacob deGrom set to return to the club, that the Rangers are probably okay there. But as far as the back end of the bullpen is concerned, or that bridge, if you will, the Rangers could be adding another piece there.
We were talking about the lineup that came out, and you don't have Marcus Semien leading off. It is Josh Smith. Mm-hmm. What stood out to you about that move, and maybe anything you can add to it that you've been talking with anybody about?
I think essentially what Boach wants to do is just to shake things up a little bit and see if putting Semien in the three hole can be a bit of a spark for the club. Marcus has done really well all season long with runners in scoring position. So when he's hitting leadoff, that's one at bat every game where there's nobody hitting in front of him. So batting him third, perhaps he's going to see a few more chances to drive in runs. And then when you think about it, putting Josh Smith in the leadoff spot, Josh's on base percentage still ranks among the top 10 in the American League. He's right now at the .379, which is seventh best in the league, a little bit better than Corey Seager's on base percentage, and significantly better than Marcus Semien's. Marcus's on base percentage is at 318. So just from a pure numbers standpoint, the move makes sense.
Matt, when you kind of feel like that you kind of figure some things out and then all of a sudden we don't figure them out anymore, is that really what every series, is it kind of series to series for you right now when you're trying to kind of understand what this baseball team really is?
Well, I think one thing we learned about the 2023 Rangers last year was you couldn't put your finger on them during the course of the regular season. Once you thought you had figured the club out, they went in the other direction. You know, so many different series where they got swept and you're like, oh, well, and then they go and sweep series you don't expect them to, and you're like, all right, this is a good ball club. We just got swept by the Blue Jays. You know, I hesitate to use the word the Rangers can sweep here in St. Louis, but you know.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trade here that pushes the second rounder, Marshawn Nealon, into the rotation more. Yeah. And could that be a blessing, especially if you want to stay in position and stop the run?
Yeah, I think that to me, this is one of those, you know, you heard the exchange that Will and I had about Nealon, mm-hmm. about his ability and stuff like that. And I felt like always playing the run, he was going to be good. Rushing the passer, if they get something out of that, this is going to give him an opportunity. They've already playing him quite a bit. They're already playing him at left end, right end. They kick him inside.
Well, now he's starting. Like anytime they have Micah moving off ball.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to get plenty of opportunity.
We'll have more with Matt Hicks on the Rangers here and just the division here in just a few minutes. But the Mariners have made another trade. After getting Randy Arozarena late last week, they have acquired veteran Justin Turner from the Blue Jays on Monday. He's the redhead from the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
When they won the World Series, he had COVID out there on the field. I remember him. But Turner's 39 years old. He's having a pretty nice season. Hitting 257, 351, 373, 6 home runs, and 31 ribbies this year. Mariners GM Justin Hollander saying Justin's been one of the most productive corner infield bats in the league for over a decade with his track record at the plate, extensive experience in the postseason, a valuable addition to both our lineup and our clubhouse. And the Blue Jays received AA outfielder RJ Schreck in the deal. Turner on a one-year, $13 million contract. How much of the M's helped themselves this week, Woolchuck?
They did a lot. I mean, with Turner and Arozarena, those are two guys that really are good bats to inject into their lineup. And not to mention, if they get in there, the playoff performance that Trey Turner's had, or Justin Turner throughout his entire career, that's something that's going to help them because they don't have a whole lot of postseason experience on that lineup.
Okay, Team USA opening up their Olympic group play with a demolition of Serbia yesterday. They're going to play South Sudan on Wednesday. One storyline from the game over the weekend. Now, I guess the Celtics fans were killing us mostly for this. I think a lot of Mavericks fans kind of feel like Jason Tatum is a really good player and, you know, maybe top 10 player, maybe borderline top 5. But when you consider where he is compared to other superstars, I think a lot of people would say that wouldn't be my pick. And apparently Steve Kerr agrees.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It's kind of crazy, you know, but did not play at all in the game over Serbia. Steve Kerr decided that
Halliburton didn't play either. There were two of them.
Short on the bench now. Yeah, these games are meaningful.
They looked at matchups. They look at lineup combinations from the exhibition games, and they decided that, you know, at least against Serbia, they needed more traditional big men and wing players. He said that the matchups versus South Sudan are much more to Jason Tatum's skill set, where they need players who can switch on the perimeter defensively versus Sudan's three-point shooters. I just can't get over, you know, the guy just won the championship, not, you know, getting a DNP coach's decision. Is it that loaded of a roster? I don't know. I think Jason Tatum is one of the more difficult to place superstars that we've had, you know, for a long, long time. Okay, elsewhere here, going on in the sports world, Aaron Rodgers is livid as the Jets have endured a sloppy practice. Is that the kind of leadership we need out here? Somebody to, you know, set the agenda more from a player's perspective? Do we need Dak to be getting livid and, you know, setting a higher standard, more accountability on the roster?
Man, I think that might be one thing
Rodgers – what's that?
Troy Aikman used to be livid a lot.
There's definitely times where it calls for it.
Yeah. There's certain moments.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not – it's a slow practice day. You're not noticing guys are really feeling it. You're jogging around. It's half-ass. Yeah, you could use your leader to go ahead and get after somebody.
Yeah, let the pads happen out here and let them get down here where they're running a little – maybe some tight red zone stuff and somebody go the wrong way and he throw the ball and it gets picked or something like that, you might see
gets a little chippy.
You might see Dak get a little chippy then.
Jerry Jones said it on some media over the weekend. You know, he's the best leader he's ever seen. I can see a lot of the traits that, you know, you would absolutely want from in a leader. The guy that brings the locker room together is always upbeat, leading by example. But I think being that, you know, guy that holds people accountable also comes along with that.
Yeah.
When you got like the guy who's going to keep the vibes immaculate, CEO type of feel to him, but also can hang out with the fellas, that is what you have in Dak. But the guy who, you know, is a Magic Johnson or Troy Aikman type of dude, Michael Jordan type of dude that wants it so bad that he's going to keep you accountable, I would say that's something that Dak should be adding at this stage.
Yeah, I think Dak is probably harder on himself than anything. But as far as a leader, I mean, he's outstanding. I don't know if he's got that, what you're talking about with the Michael Jordan or even the Troy Aikman, where you go and get in someone's face just right in front of people. Now, maybe he goes and talks to people, but I've never seen him just go. I've seen him, like, try and correct and coach and, hey, you need to be over here, not over here. I'm going to throw the ball, you know. Some of these guys will lose it. Like Aaron Rodgers, I will lose it.
I think it comes with being older, you know, because you've seen things so much that you know it really, really well. You can be an extension of the coaching staff. And plus, you're no longer the same age to be buddy buddies, you know, and they kind of need a guy to set that very high standard, especially with the coaches running around, you know, being so dang likable. I think, if that's specifically to this organization, because you have a front office that isn't leading like that, you don't have a coaching staff that's necessarily leading like that, we're going to trust the process and do good work and put good day on good day and, you know, stay healthy. There's got to be some sort of a driving force that, like, hey, guys, winning is super important here, and if you mess up, there's going to be someone to call you out. I know Mike Zimmer's not going to fall short on that, but he's one of the few coaches that has had that gear in his toolkit.
He has, and it's funny. And Jane and I were talking to him, and Jane asked him, "Is like, have you mellowed out?" And he goes, "I don't know if I mellowed out, but he goes, I've changed, but we'll see." He hasn't got in. Wait, like I say, the pads. That's one guy you will hear.
Yeah.
And Jeff Zugina, I think I said.
Yeah, the defensive line coach. We were watching him yesterday. That was fun.
He looks like Mr. Incredible, dude.
He will drop some F-bombs on these players.
He'll make them go back and do the drill again.
Yeah, and like, so yeah. Zim says, I don't know if I've changed, but we'll see when we get to the full pad situation what we got going.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have Rangers baseball coming up at 6 o'clock. Alec, do we have Matt Hicks with us yet?
Not yet. They're still doing some pregame stuff here.
Standing by, going to get Matt Hicks here in just a second. What do you guys feel about this Rangers series and you know, their chances of correcting the ship?
Well, it's a sweep, get swept. Mm. Probably sweep the Cardinals, let's say, you know, and then Brian will be back into the thought about it. But I just think this is really, really, once again, it's important. I mean, now you're in a run of teams that are maybe not the Cardinals so much. I know the Cardinals are kind of a 500 team.
Yeah, they're six back. They're second place in the Central right now.
But see, that's, to me, you've got some other teams ahead the Boston series, the Yankees series.
Houston's the biggest
one. Houston's, you know, those. You've got some really important games. You just can't walk out of here and get back home, you know, six-game losing streak. That you just can't have.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously there's so much to look at.
Got to have two or three from the Cardinals.
Yeah, you do. And offensively, you want to see some stuff get going. And now you're going to end up, I would imagine, seeing Josh Jung at some point through the course of this series. Apparently, it was a scheduled day off for him today anyways after playing the past three games with Frisco. So, and he will be available off the bench. So you could be seeing the Josh Jung appearance really at any point. So between that, and then you can tell Bochy. I mean, he's got Marcus Semien batting in the three hole today.
Yeah, he's changing it up.
He's tinkering with it.
Because it's now or never. It really is.
You're in that point in the season now where every game matters so much, every series matters so much, and it's like, hey, we've got a big enough sample size now of trying certain things. Now we're going to really have to shake some crap up.
Do you kind of feel like, though, he's getting ready for Josh Jung to come back in the lineup, but trying to find a spot for Josh Smith?
Maybe no. Smith. I mean, Smith batting leadoff, and then.
But I'm just saying,
Jung in the three hole.
Could it be something that, like, okay, is this a way of every once in a while putting Josh Smith in the lineup, let him bat leadoff?
Well, if he's going to give Semien a day off, possibly, but I just don't think Simeon's a guy that really is going to get a lot of time off. But that is an area where Josh Smith is going to add that flexibility.
Yeah.
I think it's gone so bad, though, that you can look at guys now and be like, listen, it's not working. What are we, 19th, 21st, something like that in, you know.
Like what, overall record?
Offensive efficiency.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is, you know, something that I think needs a lot of shaking up. And, yes, to your point, Josh Smith has magically become one of your better hitters, so hitting him leadoff makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's the guy that I want having the most at-bats on the team right now.
Yeah. I just wonder if Boch is knowing with Jung coming back.
The lineup order, I don't think so much of. But, yeah, I mean, the thing about Josh Smith is somebody was asking, like, what do you think the plan is? We asked CY about that a while back. He's a guy that, he can play third if you want to DH Josh Jung. He can also slide in, play short for you. You can just DH Seager, get him off his legs as well. He can play first base. He can play left field. They can move Josh Smith around all over the place to make sure he's just in the daily lineup.
I mean, it's a pretty good team. If you would add what they are going to add coming back from reinforcement in a series of trade deadline moves, you would say, wow, this team has totally given itself a massive facelift. It's the greatest trade deadline haul that we've ever seen in Major League Baseball, the amount of talent, the skins on the wall that these guys have. And, you know, coming back to this organization, I do expect that this three-game sweep that we just endured is going to end up being the last, you know, major down weekend for the club. And, you know, I'm looking forward to now finally being able to enjoy, what being defending World Series champs usually looks like. The Phillies have traded for an all-star closer, made a big move. They acquired Angels closer Carlos Estevez.
There you go.
In exchange for pitching prospects George Klassen and Samuel Aldegary. Estevez, 20 saves this season, has held opposing batters to a 169 average. GM Dave Dombrowski called him one of the best relievers in baseball, so congrats to the Phillies. Yeah, that's one of the great things we've been able to have this year is Robertson and Yates, actually having some bullpen stability. It's crazy how this year has gone bad with what appeared to be the thing that you could most count on. The Mets have added an outfielder from a division rival. They're getting some help in the form of Jesse Winker from the Nationals. He's hitting .257 with 11 home runs and 14 steals. It's crazy how, you know, the Mets were appearing
big
to be
sellers last year, weren't they?
Yeah, and this, yeah.
And they were dead.
The start of the season.
Yeah.
Just
we thought they were
going to
be again. Yeah.
All righty. As Matt Hicks joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. A good evening to you, Matt. How the heck are you?
Hey, fellas. We're a little busy here tonight, as you can imagine.
Woo! Yes. Where do you want to start? I guess I want to know from you, what are the chances that something else gets done here in the next 24 hours?
I would say pretty good. Not that we get this huge dump of information here today doesn't mean that stuff still isn't going to happen. You know, the deadline is tomorrow, about 5 o'clock Central Time, and I would imagine that we're going to see a lot more activity, not certainly across the game, but still involving the Rangers.
This segment of The Fan brought to you by Kissable Dental and their no bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Anything specifically that you think they're looking at doing right now, Matt?
Man, I tell you what, you know, today, you know, you're getting a guy in Carson Kelly that shores up what the Rangers can do both offensively and defensively behind the plate. Where the Rangers have been lacking, I suppose, over the last couple of months is their ability to hit right-handed pitching. So if there's still either a left-handed bat out there or a right-handed bat that can handle right-handed pitching, then I think that you could see something in that regard. And, you know, clubs never have enough pitching, although it seems like still with Tyler Mahle and Jacob deGrom set to return to the club, that the Rangers are probably okay there. But as far as the back end of the bullpen is concerned, or that bridge, if you will, the Rangers could be adding another piece there.
We were talking about the lineup that came out, and you don't have Marcus Semien leading off. It is Josh Smith. What stood out to you about that move, and maybe anything you can add to it that you've been talking with anybody about?
I think essentially what Boach wants to do is just to shake things up a little bit and see if putting Semien in the three hole can be a bit of a spark for the club. You know, Marcus has done really well all season long with runners in scoring position. So when he's hitting leadoff, that's one at-bat every game where there's nobody hitting in front of him. So batting him third, perhaps he's going to see a few more chances to drive in runs. And then when you think about it, you know, putting Josh Smith in the leadoff spot, you know, Josh's on-base percentage still ranks among the top 10 in the American League. He's right now at the 379, which is seventh best in the league, a little bit better than Corey Seager's on-base percentage, and significantly better than Marcus Semien's. Marcus's on-base percentage is at 318. So just from a pure numbers standpoint, the move makes sense.
Matt, when you kind of feel like that you kind of figure some things out and then all of a sudden we don't figure them out anymore, is that really what every series, is it kind of series to series for you right now when you're trying to kind of understand what this baseball team really is?
Well, I think one thing we learned about the 2023 Rangers last year was you couldn't put your finger on them during the course of the regular season. Once you thought you had figured the club out, they went in the other direction. You know, so many different series where they got swept and you're like, oh, well, and then they go and sweep series you don't expect them to. And you're like, all right, this is a good ball club. We just got swept by the Blue Jays. You know, I hesitate to use the word the Rangers can sweep here in St. Louis, but you know what? The last two times the Rangers have come here, that's exactly what they've done. We haven't played here since 2016, but swept a three-game series that year. And in 2013, the first time the Rangers came back to St. Louis after the 2011 World Series, the Rangers swept a three-game series as well. So the Rangers are 6-0 in this ballpark since the 2011 World Series. So baseball just, it's something that you think you've got it figured out,
right?
And you realize in the end you don't.
What do you expect from Josh Jung in his return?
Well, I tell you what, you know, he looked good in a couple of games in Frisco. He's chomping at the bit. He was on the early bus here to the ballpark today, so he's raring to go, even though he's not in the lineup. But I would expect that the Rangers aren't, you know, activating him if they don't think that he's, you know, fully capable of swinging the bat and doing damage with the bat. So, you know, I'm not expecting him to go 2-for-4 every ball game, but I'm expecting him to be a dangerous hitter.
You're the man, Matt. Thank you so much, and enjoy the games, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
There he goes. Matt Hicks here with you in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan. Okay, yeah, a massive day. We just went over them with you at the start of the expressway. 11 different moves by the Rangers here. And the headliner, of course, the return of Josh Jung and Cody Bradford here. The beginning of reinforcements have arrived. All right, thanks to Alec Medford in for Lucius Alexander. Lucius on vacation for the next 2 weeks. Send him some love on social media. Let him know he's missed. Thanks to Wolchuk and Shia Follow, of course. Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thethefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. The office ace, Tim Collins, who's remote producing, joined now by Ruben Portillo.
has joined the remote engineering staff here. And, of course, for Brian Broaddus, I'm Gavin Dawson. Rangers baseball is coming up next. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.